But I asked last week for though if you would join me in really kind of meditating on and thinking on and focusing on Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. So I'll be the first. Can you put that verse on the screen without me seeing it in the back? So we're good? All right, so y'all can quiz me. I'm going to try to get an A. All right. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Did I miss any of that? Okay. All right. Do any of you remember why this was up here? If you were here last week for the message, or maybe you saw it, why this was here related to the word wait? Any idea? I may refresh your memory if not. It's okay. It's been a full week. All right. That word wait can mean to hope in and so forth, but it's translated cord in the book of Joshua. And Rahab, a prostitute, came to faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to save her family from destruction, they told her, put a scarlet rope, a scarlet cord out. And we see that everyone with you will be saved. It'll be safe. But that word cord is entwined. It's translated gathered together in Genesis 1:9. So I don't know if you would have this one. I've tried to work on two translations this week, all right? So do you have that still in the Passion Translation? If not, I'm going to just pretend like I've got it right, and y'all can. But if I remember it correctly, it says, but those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh will experience divine strength. They will mount up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their races without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up. And I really appreciate that translation for bringing that out, because sometimes, man, I said waiting on the Lord is seeking him. It's going after him and getting close to him. There is a waiting in the sense of a time factor, but it's ultimately not just about our watch. It's about our heart and seeking the Lord and waiting on him, being in close fellowship with him, our hearts entwined together. So I just wanted to share that with you and hopefully encourage you. Would anyone, if you want to raise your hand, that you did kind of focus on that and maybe thought about it some this week, would you just indicate by raising your hands, please, if you hold them up for just a moment? All right, well, thank you all. Thank you, Lord bless you. And we'll give you another verse this week, but I appreciate it. It's a blessing to see. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're not already focusing on a scripture or have something you're dwelling on, meditating on, I'll give you another one for today, all right, for this week. So if you would you join me in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. This is kind of a longer verse, so maybe you can just pick a section out, and that's okay. The main thing is that we learn it because we want to live it. That's the key, and this verse really brings that out. But Joshua chapter 1, so if you would turn there with me, please. It's the sixth book of the Bible, Joshua chapter 1. And then once you get your hands free, we'll make our confession together, okay? Joshua chapter 1. And if you can join me, even if you're still looking, it's okay. Pull it up, it's fine. If you're familiar with these words and you agree, even those of you online, I invite you to join us as we make this confession together. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This is our kind of our theme verse for today, all right? Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." God tells us in his word how we can be prosperous as successful according to his standard. That's so important. And I'll give you a definition of these two words in a moment, because if I would ask everyone around from here to just out on the street or mall or wherever we may be, hey, what's your definition of prosperity? What's your definition of success? Well, I'm probably going to get more than one answer. For some, it may have absolutely nothing to do with God. For others, it may. But I want you to know that as a father, God's heart is to prosper us and to bless us with success, but he has a way to do it. Let me read that verse one more time. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." That means we're to keep it in our mouths. "But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way." That word "way" means a way of life. So then you will make your way of life prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, God wants us to be successful in this life and the life to come, not just something that's passing. So here is the title of the message this morning, if you want to write it down. Be successful for the Lord. Be successful for the Lord. Would you say that with me? Be successful for the Lord. Maybe you turn to someone next to you and just give them a big smile and say, "Be successful for the Lord." Aren't you glad God wants us to be successful and to prosper in the right ways? I love that. Good success. Let me give you this definition real quick. Just keep it simple. The word prosperous, the Hebrew word for prosperous, means to be powerful or prevail. That speaks of victory, to be powerful or prevail. So we have our battles. God wants us to have victory, to be prosperous, to prevail. That's what it means there, okay? So to be powerful, the Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So be powerful and prevail. And then the word "success" means to have wisdom, understanding, and skill. Wisdom, understanding, and skill. In Daniel 1:17, that word for skill, that's the same Hebrew word here for success. So success is to have skill in life. It's to know how to take truth and wisdom from God's word and live it out. So I want to show you something here. I prayed this scripture. In fact, I can't remember if I gave you that or not, but if you want to write it down, Daniel 1:17. Daniel 1:17 says, "As for these four young men," Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and so forth, it says, "God gave them." Would you say God gave them? God gave them knowledge and skill. That's the same word, success. Knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. But I want to tell you what I made this little sticky note here for those of you who are here to see it. It has the names of every one of your sons and daughters that are in school. If I have it, if I know it, I prayed for them every day this week. But this is the scripture I prayed in Daniel 1:17, but this is how I prayed it, because one translation says it like this: God gave them knowledge, aptitude for learning, and wisdom. So God gave them knowledge, aptitude for learning. That's what I've been praying for your family members, if you have them, and if I have their name and know about them. So I just want you to know that I was lifting them up to the Lord this week, but this is the scripture I was praying for them, and so that God would help them through their studies and their learning. Brothers and sisters, every day we face temptations to sin. Every day we face challenges. At times we experience loss. At times we experience conflict. And I just believe we need the wisdom that God gives us in his word. And I believe we need the power of his Holy Spirit to live it out. So that's when I talk about being successful for the Lord, the only way that I'm going to have his wisdom and his spirit, his empowerment to live it out, is I have to stay in close fellowship with him. That's the key. The real key to prosperity and success in God's way of living is to stay in close fellowship with him. We must stay in close fellowship, and thank God for his Holy Spirit that we can. We don't have to have any distance between our heart and God's, because if we know him, he's not only with us, he's in us. So be successful for the Lord. Now, let me just give you a little context here, and then we'll start. Look at verse 1. But I want you to know what Joshua experienced simultaneously, all at one time. He experienced the loss of his close friend and his leader. Same person. They had been together for decades, came out of slavery together. And Moses died, and now here's Joshua. Not only did he experience a loss, he was now accepting a new leadership position. So he just had someone close die, and now he's taking on a leadership responsibility. Not just for a handful, that would be plenty, for an entire nation. Then he moved to a new land. He was leaving his home. So he's experienced loss, he's coming into leadership, he's leaving his familiar land, and he's getting ready to fight enemies that he's never battled before. That's the context of Joshua 1:8. So when you feel like you're having it kind of rough, I get it. But don't forget, God still has a heart for you. And he wants you to be prosperous and successful for him. So would you look at verse 1 now? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says this. I'll read verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. So they took a 30-day period to mourn the passing of Moses, to mourn his death and his loss. And now God said, he served me faithfully. He was faithful in my call for Moses. And now Moses is dead. We don't forget him, but I'm still alive and you're still alive. Now I want you to continue to move forward in my call and my purpose for you. We don't want to live in, even if it's not a physical death, we don't want to live in a past death, so to speak, because that's going to hinder us from moving forward in all that God has for us now and in the future. So he said, all right, it's a new chapter. He's passed, but I'm here. And I still have a call and a purpose for your life. Now, I want you to live and do it. Don't act like you're dead because I'm with you and I'm going to see you through. Now, look at verse 3, if you would. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, and notice how God words it here. He doesn't say, I'm going to give it to you years down the road. He says, I have given it to you. If you step on it, it's yours. I've already given it. I have given it to you. So every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, in Hebrew, Joshua is Yahushua. Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. It means Yahweh, or the Lord is salvation. Joshua is a picture of Jesus leading the people into the promises of God. The book of Joshua relates to the New Testament book of Ephesians. Ephesians is like a New Testament book of Joshua. So here's what he says in verse 3 there. He said, every place that you step, I have given it to you. Now, if you want to write this down, let me read it to you. It's Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, again, notice how it's worded, who has, would you say has? Who has blessed us with how many? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is ours. God told Joshua, everywhere you step, I've given it to you. I'm giving you a specific geographical land. But then he tells his church, my Joshua has gone before you, and he's given you every spiritual blessing. Now you step in it and walk in it. It's my inheritance for you. Thank God. Be successful for the Lord. Would you say that with me? Be successful for the Lord. I'm a blessed man. I believe that. And I'm talking about just even living here. I know most people in the world would consider me very wealthy. I thank God for our home. Thank God for vehicle. Thank God for cars. I thank God for opportunity to serve you. I mean that. But I have come to appreciate so much the spiritual blessings that Jesus died on the cross to purchase for us. And I want to walk in every one of them. Be successful for the Lord. So let me give you just two ways, scriptural steps, if you want to say that, as we're talking about stepping into the success and prosperity of the Lord. I call them God's MO for success, all right? God's MO for success. Here's the first one, meditation. So to be successful, to be prosperous for the Lord, the first step, if we want to do so, is to meditate. I'll tell you what that means. Again, I'll read that scripture, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and then I'll give you the other one in Psalms as well. But if you stay right here in Joshua, we'll keep right here. Joshua 1, 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So if we want to be prosperous and successful in this life and the life to come, I'm talking about for the Lord now, we have to, first of all, meditate on God's word. At this time, Joshua just had the first five books. We have the whole word of God that we can meditate on. Now, scriptural meditation combines thinking and speaking, or thinking and talking. It's our mind and our mouths. I know, Brother Mark, you're familiar with this, that Hebrew word meditate. What does it mean? To meditate. Do you remember what that word means? Go ahead and say it. Yeah, to mutter. It means to mutter. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know you all do it. You talk to yourself. As do I. We all do. Somebody said, just as long as you don't listen to yourself. No, that's my... But that's meditation is to mutter. It's thinking and talking. The real issue is, what are we meditating on? So let me read this to you from a couple different translations, not on the screen. I just want you to hear it. In fact, let me tell you this. I put it on the website this morning. My notes are on our website, so I'll give you that real quick. clmfamily.org. clmfamily.org. If you go there, there's a header. It says, from the pastor. If you click it, you'll see the notes here for you. But this is how it words it in one translation. Recite this scroll of the law constantly. See how it's not just it's not just in our mind, it's reciting. Another translation says, this set of instructions is not to cease being a part of your conversations. It's easy. We can go days, we can go weeks without making God's word part of our conversations. And God says, that's not my path to prosperity and success. If you want to be successful for me, you've got to keep my words in your mind and in your mouth. And meditation is, let me say it this way. Godly scriptural meditation is not easy. It is a discipline that we must develop because our mind is going to go everywhere else. Now, I will ask you this one. How many of you have ever worried? Let me see your hands. Would you raise your hand, please? You've ever worried about anything? All right. You know what you were doing? Meditating. You revolved, man, you dwelt on it. You dwelt on it. I say you. I'm including myself. I say we. We dwell on it, man. We think about it. We just kind of fuel. We eat it. And as we chew on it, it gets bigger. and it just grows and grows. We're dwelling on it. And then it's not just enough that we dwell on it. We declare it. I just don't know what, and we declare all the bad, the negativity, everything that's wrong. And that's human. But let's not stop there. Let's, by God's Spirit, we can catch ourselves and replace it. That's where the discipline comes in. So it's not just that we dwell on it when we're worried and anxious and fearful or whatever it is. We dwell on it, we declare it, and here's what we typically do, we share it. Because we pass it on to others. I'm not criticizing you, I believe I'm being honest and just keeping it real. So to meditate on God's word then is to dwell on it and to declare it, and then we might as well share it. If we're gonna spread something, let's spread something good. Let's spread God's word. Let's dwell on what he tells us to dwell on and do it for him. Now, I wanna read just a couple of scriptures here in Psalms chapter 1. Let me read those to you. Stay right there in Joshua, if you would, please. I'll come back, we'll conclude. But this is how the first psalm in the book of Psalms opens. It's Psalms 1, beginning in verse 1. Okay, we'll put it on the screen for you. Blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Lord knows there's some ungodly counsel out. I mean, available in wherever today. But if we want God's blessing, don't live in that counsel, nor stand in the path of sinners. In other words, kind of going along with in that lifestyle of sin, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Here's how we can be blessed, verse 2. But his delight, would you say delight? Man, that's so important. If we don't delight ourselves in God's word, we won't meditate on it and dwell on it. But his delight, man, the joy, God's word can bring us joy. So his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, he meditates. That's that same word again, day and night. In other words, it's a lifestyle. That's what we have to make it if we want to be successful for the Lord. Then verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Shall prosper. But see, there is a season. But see, we've got to do the planting and the watering for God to give the increase. Then he says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. If you don't give up, if you don't faint or lose heart. Some of you, if you were here last week, I shared a message and I related how I started reading one particular devotional called The Upper Room the day Brittany had her surgery up at UVA. And I found that devotional. I've been reading it ever since. Today's devotional had a testimony from a brother in South Africa. And he said he grew up in poverty. And even though his dad was living, he had nothing to do with him. It was he hurt because of that. And he ended up isolating himself during school. He started doing things that were self-destructive. And he came to the point where he hated his dad and resented him so bad that he wanted his dad to hurt like he was hurting. And he became toxic, that's what he said. But he said, I realized that I was not the victim that I claimed to be. Now I was also hurting others. He said, this is what I learned to do. I learned not to dwell on what hurt me, and I learned to forgive and release, and I found healing and joy. Would you consider that successful for the Lord? See what I'm saying? So God's MO to be successful. God, we have to battle our own tendency to sin in our thoughts. There is an anti-Christian culture that tries to sweep us into its mold and pressure us to conform to ungodly ways. And because of that, I thank God we have a Father who loves us. And he says, I'm gonna give you a healthy activity for your mind and your mouth. And if you do this, you're not gonna give in to that. I'm gonna help you be successful. I want you to be prosperous. I want you to be successful. And as the psalm says, I want you to be fruitful. I just want you to do it for me. Be successful for the Lord. Would you say that with me? Be successful for the Lord. Let me give you the second one now. So the first step, God's M-O, meditation, and then the O, obedience. So God's M-O for success, meditation and obedience. And this is so important because the reason we meditate is that we live it out so that we can do it. Now, let me, if you remember, without me repeating it all, remember what I told you Joshua experienced at the same time? I mean, from the laws to the leadership and so forth, he experienced all of that simultaneously. What did God want him to meditate on so that he could be successful? I'm so glad you asked. Would you look at verse 5? Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. God told him, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." That is, man, that is the key right there. God's specific times, we shared this, I don't know, sometime back last year, I think, on Wednesday evening about the times where God said, "I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you." And looking at the context of it, considering here everything that Joshua's facing, he said, "All right, the key is I'm going to be with you." And if we're born again, God is not only with us, he's within us. He lives in us. So he says in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage." Would you say it with me? "Be strong and of good courage." Now, verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the or from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage." You think God's getting the message across there? I want you, I know you got enemies, I know you've got battles, you've experienced some pain and loss, but here it is, I'm with you. Now be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Verse 9, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed." Don't be disheartened, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So here's what he said. This is what I want you to meditate on. Meditate on the fact that I am with you regardless of who comes against you. Meditate on the fact that I have called you. I'm telling you, be strong and courageous, and walk in all my promises I have for you. This is your inheritance. And he says to us, brothers and sisters, Jesus paid it all. He purchased for us every spiritual blessing. He rose again from the dead and sent his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit lives in us. If we've turned from our way to God's, turned from sin to faith in Jesus as Lord, then he says, "I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." You're going to have your times. You're going to have your battles. You're going to have your loss, your failures, all these challenges are coming against you. But remember, I am with you, and I want you to be prosperous. I want you to be successful. I want you to be fruitful. Now, spiritually, everywhere you step, it's yours. So that's his grace, his peace. Oh my God, that right there is enough that I would just say, thank you, Lord. Thank God. Let me close with this, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Be successful for the Lord. God's M.O., meditation and obedience. Would you say that with me? Meditation and obedience. And this is what the scripture says. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll just read these verses. Beginning in verse 12. "Let no one despise or look down on your youth." And that's the context of Timothy. He was a younger man. But I believe that applies to every age. Don't let anyone look down on the wisdom of your years. Was that a nice way to? "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct," in other words, how you live, "in love, spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation," that means encouragement, that's what I want to do with you today, "to doctrine," that just means teaching. Verse 14, "Do not neglect the gift that's in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the elders. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. And God says, I've got a call on you just like I had on Joseph, Joseph too, and Joshua. But now I'm asking you, stir it up. Don't let it go to waste. Use it. And then verse 15, meditate. Would you say meditate? Yes. So meditate on these things, not just half-heartedly. Give yourself entirely to them. That's why I said, man, to meditate is a discipline that we must develop. He says, give yourself entirely to them that your progress, that's another word, may be evident to all. And then he says in verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine or teaching. Continue in them. Would you say continue? For in doing this, again, it's not just the thinking, it's the doing. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. As members of God's family and examples of Jesus, the Lord wants us to prosper for him, and he wants us to realize we're not just Lone Ranger Christians. We are part of a family of faith, and God says, as you help and disciple others, you're going to be helped too. That's what it means to be successful for the Lord. So I'll just close with this. Success in any area, Christian or not, success in any area requires effort. It's not just what happened. It requires discipline. It requires faithfulness. Want to be successful in school, successful on the job, whatever it may, successful for the Lord. It requires effort. I got to put forth the effort. I can't expect God to do for me what he tells me to do. I can expect him to help me do what he tells me to do. So it's effort, discipline, and faithfulness. I want to ask you today, let's not settle for the world's short-term success. Let's be successful for the Lord. Can we stand together? I'll close in prayer. I want to ask you to just think about this with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you'll join me this week and really focusing on Joshua 1:8. Just break it down. Maybe one part of it will stick out to you. Focus on that. It's okay. Ultimately, it's not about, you know, just learning. It's about living. But I want you to think about this, okay? Are you willing today, I'm asking between you and the Lord, to be successful for the Lord? Some people may not even want success because they might not want the responsibility and the discipline that comes with it. I'm asking, do you want to be successful for the Lord? If you do, he's shown us the way. He's given it to us. So then I'll follow up with, if you are, then are you willing to meditate on God's word and live according to God's word? Trust him with the results. Trust him with the success. Trust him with the prosperity. Trust him with the fruit. But are you willing to be successful for the Lord? And are you willing to meditate on his word? Develop it. Don't get down on yourself when you feel like you fall. Just keep going. Get back up. Keep going. God will help you to meditate and obedience. Before we sing this chorus to close, could I just ask, just with a head bowed, eyes closed, would anyone just say, Brother Rocky, I want that in my life today, and I want you to pray for him. I'm going to agree with you in prayer. Would you just slip your hand up, maybe right there where you are, any of you? Oh, wow. Okay, thank you. All across this stack, God bless you. Father, we come before you right now. I will step up. I want to try to, I hope, lead the way. Help me, Lord. I don't want necessarily the world's definition of success. If anyone in the world considers me a success, thank you. But I want to be a success in your eyes. I want to hear you say, well done, one day. So I pray that you would help us to develop that discipline, to meditate on your word. I pray even this week, I believe it comes personal, we meditate on it. So Lord, I pray that you would let it come to life in us. Let it be a fresh word, manna, and a now word that would help us, encourage us. And Lord, we'd think about it, we'd speak it, share it, and ultimately we'd live it out for your glory in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen?